I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Decades ago, public service announcements asked parents, "It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?" But a recent campaign to fight online misinformation about climate change turned that script on its head by asking young people, "It's 10 p.m. Do you know what your parents are scrolling?"
A lot of the reasons why we try to instill comedy and humor into our videos is because people are more likely to engage and more likely to learn and laugh at the same time.
Javi Garcia is with the Gas Leaks Project, which teaches people about the harms of fossil fuels. The group partnered with the nonprofit Green Latinos to produce videos and social media posts in English and Spanish, encouraging people to help their parents recognize false and misleading content. He says Latinos are particularly exposed to climate misinformation, in part because they often get their news from social media, where false claims are rampant. Yet at the same time, many live in areas with a high risk of climate disasters.
I'm from Puerto Rico, and we see the effects of climate change happening firsthand. You know, beaches that are being swallowed by the water, more intense hurricanes.
So he says it's especially important to counter climate misinformation in Latino communities. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. As I promised, we have a treat today. It is the second Friday of 2025. Happy to be alive. As many of you know, periodically on the Suluau show, we have a special program called Poetry Pop-Up. Today, we're going to be having that, and it's a program where instead of each poet at a special poetry program having to wait until one or two featured poets read six or seven poems and then possibly not get to do one of theirs, our difference is that each person reads one, and then you get something called RIF, respectful, interesting, informative, friendly feedback. Because I, maybe like some of our other poet guests in the house, may have been at a poetry event where someone was wiping their tears or dabbing up because they didn't get recognized or a chance to share what they had written. So without further ado, I'm going to turn you over to Dr. Cynthia, not a doctor yet, but he has many degrees and accolades, including having been the poet laureate. So Cynthia, introduce yourself and we will get going.
Oh, thank you, Charlotte, for such a wonderful introduction to me. And I think you covered it. I'm the author of The Light Bearers in the Sand Dollar Graviton, which is a children's story, and also a couple of poetry books under Cynthia Sharp that are all in the Burnaby Public Library and other libraries. And I'd like to read part of my prose poetry story, The Light Bearers in the Sand Dollar Graviton. I read it on the last pop-up show, where with Marcy, as she was making the decision to go through space and rescue Zabadon. And now she's arrived in the center of all the universes. In this story, there are five universes. And she has to help save a really evil princess to change the evil princess's path. So the light bearers in the center are telling her the past history. Princess Amito was not actually from Nosin, Katina began. She was originally from Sandunasia, the biggest civilization on the small planet in your universe, nearest to our vortex at the southern tip of the Yellow Sand Galaxy. A magical sunny land, Sandunasia is named for its glorious sand dunes. The civilization and marine life by the sea are vibrantly colorful, while the great golden dunes of the nearby desert offer a mystical peace as the wind plays across them. Within the vast realm of desert are several thriving oasis communities, but the majority of the population of the planet live in Sandunasia itself, which stretches along the longest warm bay of the planet's one ocean. It's a land where the sea speaks with citizens from their earliest memories, and orange, purple, and blue starfish cling to bright rocks in low tide, absorbing the warmth of long summer days. The ocean is held in reverence, for the people of Sandunasia know that life comes from the sea, that they too emerged from its saline womb. They trust the sea to nurture and guide them, so when they reach their 13th year and discover pearls in the large oyster shells the water delivers to the warm shores of the bay, and the aura surrounding them becomes brightly radiant with the presence of light protectors, the occasion is treated with gratitude and importance. It is said that pearls reveal a person's calling. But the unhappy princess missed her pearls and assumed that life had nothing for her. She grew up in a tiny room and assumed it was why she felt so small. When she reached the age to build her own home, she made her castle bigger and bigger till it was the largest in the land. But something was still missing. Like a little blue voice yelping to get out, that something grew louder and louder inside her. So she went as far away as she could from home to get away from the calling she didn't know how to answer. She numbed herself. And when she heard the legend of Zabaddon and his abilities, she stole it for herself, thinking if she couldn't be happy, maybe she could trick people into believing she was epic. Well, stop there, right on a bell. That's the light there from the $10 graviton. Marx is going to help the evil princess find her true calling so she stops destroying all their lives. So now I think I get a bit of riff, and then I get to introduce the next person.
Yes, who'd like to give some riff to Cynthia? Cynthia Sharp, our first brave writer reading.
Yeah, I always love listening to you read, Cynthia. You have such a calming voice. But I was sort of carried away listening to the description of Sandunasia. It sounded like such a paradise, just the beautiful warm sun and the beach. Makes me want to go to a winter getaway vacation in the Caribbean. It was just lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I love the sea, so I was just feeling the breeze and feeling the joy and the life. Our prompt today is Thrive in 25, so that just definitely gave me a feeling of thriving.
And for me, that was how Vancouver felt when I first came here, and the orange and purple starfish, and how amazing our city here is in Vancouver. So I'd like to introduce the next reader, Leslie Hebert, and she'll tell us a bit about herself and share what she has for us today.
Okay, so hello, everybody. I'm Leslie. I live in New Westminster in BC, Canada, in the true north, strong and free. Let's not get into politics here today anyway. Let's forget about that. I am a writer. I'm working on, actually, I've just completed a travel memoir about a trip I took to Japan with my family, and I'm now looking for a publisher for that. I also lawn bowl. And I belong to a singing group at Century House in New Westminster. And on the theme of Thrive for 25, I've written a poem especially for today, which I've called New Year 2025. The gray-haired old year has shuffled to his grave to sleep in the shadows of doubt and fear. All is new. New socks and slippers warm my feet. In the warm hug of a soft new sweater, I take the first chocolate from a freshly opened box. I breathe the fresh smell of a new book in anticipation as I open it to the first page. I inhale the fresh air of a new day, at the birth of the new year, and wonder what is to come. New stories, new friends, new hopes beckon. A new journey begins.
Oh, I feel that journey. My goodness. Who would like to give some riff for people who've just tuned in? This is Poetry Pop-Up. One of the things that's a hallmark of Poetry Pop-Up is that each poet gets some riff. And riff is not, riff is respectful, informative, inspiring, friendly feedback. So who would like to?
I'd like to say something. I want to say I'm really happy to see Leslie after a long time. And I really loved your choice of words, Leslie, and the way you delivered them. It was so impactful. Words like warm hug and the fresh smell of a new book. That was really lovely. And everything new to look forward to, new stories, new friends. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Ramon. It's good to be back.
Yeah. We were previously all together in Powered by Age, which was a podcast for seniors, and we did 150 episodes. And now we are going to have a monthly poetry pop-up. And I will just remind our audience, this is Saluau, the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, and now we will continue with delectable poetry.
Nice rhyme there. I loved how Leslie's Hebert piece addressed all the senses. As Ramona pointed out, it had the sense of smell as well as the sense of touch and visual imagery, which is so nice to hear Leslie's piece. And now we'll go to Ramona. And Ramona, I didn't get your last name, so if you want to share that as well, or if you just go by Ramona,
sure.
The listeners know.
It's a very long name. So my last name is Srinivasan. And so about me, I'm a retired professor from Mumbai University, and I taught history and French there for almost 40 years and wrote several textbooks and workbooks in history and French. And recently, I completed writing a memoir, which is to be published by Storyworth. About poetry, I think this is the third poem that I've written in my life, and I hope you'll bear with me. So here it goes. Thrive in 2025. In a world where sincerity is our compass, we navigate through life's traffic jams, diligently striving, even when the GPS fails. Did you really mean to take that left? Embracing latitude, we stretch our hearts like yoga on a Sunday morning, generously sharing snacks and smiles, because who can resist a cookie? With optimism, we wear our shades indoors, radiating good cheer, even when the Wi-Fi falters. Hey, at least we're not buffering in life. Getting along with others is our daily game, like a family dinner where everyone argues over the last slice of pizza, proving love is sometimes cheesy. Living with pride, we stand tall, self-respect like the superhero cape, even when we trip over our own feet, because, hey, we are still flying high. Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
Wow, I loved all the imagery and the different categories you brought in, geography, the internet. Does anyone else have any feedback for Ramona?
It's another really positive poem. I just loved all the positive imagery, especially the last one, you know, flying high. Yeah, feel like Superman, you know, over
Thank
everything.
You.
So, yeah, so really, really creates a good feeling for the listener. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Cynthia.
I had a picture of that argument over the last piece of pizza pie. Oh, I was really picturing, your words were so picturing. I was picturing the family dinner and the interaction and the smiling people. It really brought forth a lot of just loving memories that people, other people might be able to identify with that family dinner.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ramona, for all your poetry. I told you a long time ago that you're a poet for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. I'm still nervous about it.
Yes, I appreciate that.
So Neil Ryan is our next reader. If you'd like to say a little bit about yourself and then share a poem, that'd be great.
Cynthia, I now live in Nanaimo, which is on Vancouver Island, and I recognize the faces. Leslie, good to see you. Cynthia as well, it's Sister C. But I'm still writing poetry, but I sprouted out in my book of short stories. It was went to the printer on a week before Christmas, so I have a new book out called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, and it's a novelette and also 10 short stories, each of them 900 words, because they were part of a contest. So, anyway, I'm really trying to figure out which poem I have to read today, because you wanted something about the year, but this is a poem called The Funeral Pyre. Every year, the distance to my end shortens. Every year, the image of my funeral pyre becomes clearer. And instead of warmed by the fire, I am chilled by these thoughts. This adventure to find the Holy Grail is a voyage through time and space. And yes, I am the center of this universe and this flight. And while thoughts, I may be its creator, but I'm neither its captain nor its king. I am a star whizzing around the black hole of entropy. As little by little, time takes from me the vitality of youth, offering small amounts of wisdom in exchange. So what adventure is next? Is our spirit indeed as advertised? Muslims 16 virgins or Vikings Valhalla with their rivalry? What treasures await the passing of this world onto the next? So you are a seeker of truth in a world of lies. A world where there is no truth, only shadows of reality. A world where there is no fixed reality, only possibility. Nothing is solid, and there are no fixed positions like the stars, which also is a mistruth, as everything is in flight and nothing stands still. Ergo, the only truth is time is a vibration that eternally erodes. We are not creators of the universe, only of the minutiae of our experience, labeled as either good or bad, interpretation of the experience is always our choice. But whichever we choose, therein there is always a gift. And it is up to us to find it. I've looked and looked and still have not found. However, there is one truth. Existence is an imaginary game that we believe is real. The ultimate choice is to find the energy to play the game or leave it. The experience is the gift, and the gift is the experience. We paid to go on this merry-go-round, but like all amusement parks, the merry-go-round closes down for the night, and everyone goes home. The last piece of information is the 23rd of February, I will be 85 years old. And so I'm contemplating, what does that mean? And I hope it means a long and prosperous life.
Well, you've certainly pursued a long and prosperous life. Some of you may not, may recall, 2 years ago, Neil had it in his head. He was going to get his book out and moving. There was a publisher that was supposed to be moving the book, and they weren't moving fast enough. So Neil bought a 20-foot vehicle that he ventured to take across Canada, down into the United States, up in areas where there are mountains like Sedona. And he got had the experience of taking his book out and reading it at the sea. And so I'm just saluting his energy, and we'll be looking forward to celebrating that milestone birthday on February 23rd.
Yes, I think it's I'm blessed with good health. I chose wisely in terms of my parents. I was blessed to be to arrive from healthy, very healthy people. So I'm enjoying still being active, very active, and I know this poem was about the funeral pyre, but I'm not afraid of death. I have lived a good, prosperous life. I really have had the adventures of searching for the Holy Grail, as I said in the poem. So each adventure. And by the way, I'm back at school. I'm learning about astrology and about the moments in time that we're born and how that affects us and so forth. So I'm back at school and enjoying every minute of it. It really is interesting.
I really like the shadows and wisdom that you played with in your poem, Neil. I love that imagery. Does anyone else have any comments for Neil?
Oh, yeah, I just want to say that Neil is always so inspiring. Like, right now he's back in school, and his perspective, Neil, your perspective on life that you expressed in the poem is very unique, and thank you for sharing it so honestly. At this point, many of us lose courage, the part that you spoke of, you know, death. And it takes a lot of inner strength that you have and you always display. And like you said, yes, you chose your parents well. So you are like brimming with health. And I hope, I wish you all the best for your 85th birthday, and keep on inspiring all of us. Thank you.
Thanks, Ramona.
Time to go. Oh, Leslie might have a few comments, and then we're going to hear from Charlotte.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Neil, for your courage and your honesty in writing that poem. And, you know, sharing things that a lot of us feel, but really, you know, are nervous about expressing or afraid to express. So, yeah. And congratulations on starting a new course, too.
Yes. Really interesting. Really, really.
So it's time for our host, Charlotte Sistesi-Farrell, to share one of her poems.
Okay, I'm going to do a little station break and say this is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby and streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. I am a poet and I know it. I've written two transformative poetry books. One is From Pillows to Pillows, a woman's journey from tear-soaked pillows to pillars of strength. This month, it has been added by the publisher as an ebook. Those of you who take your books to places to sell know you have to pay postage and shipping, and sometimes it'll take 20 days to get there. So when you can offer something, it's dependent on it. So now I'm going on this journey with an ebook of From Pillows to Pillars and able to tell someone we're doing the workshop next week and you can have your book this week and read it. I wrote two poems around the Thrive, and I'm going to share the first one is Between the Tree, You and Me. Between the tree, you and me, there's a world of love to see. To see from within roots, feel from around the spots and knots where buds decided which branches. Leaving us without a doubt of their resilience, without a decline of their independence. I, you, we have a treasury to touch, breathe upon, maybe even sing a song beyond. Simply walking around the base of a grand tree inspires imaging the infinite decisions made at the base, the roots beneath me. Send a branch left, bend a new one to the right. The next three will delight, showing off their decisions of how many branches to the left or right. Abundantly trees show. We also get to share the medicinal essence that allows us to thrive. Poof, like magic, happening to every hour as we thrive. Thank you.
I love your rhythm, Charlotte, and the way you have roots and thriving at the same time, the way you make us feel it. Who else has comments for Charlotte? Just jump in.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the rhythm. I was going to say the same thing as you, Cynthia, but I feel this should be set to music. I feel it should be a song, like a song of celebration.
Announcement coming up and to be released in February or March. But I have a poem. And Jesse, who is not only our engineer for our show, independently he is a musician. He has created music for a poem, a video poem called I Choose to Challenge. So we will be announcing what we'll be doing with that. But thank you for the comments about the rhythm.
Yes, Charlotte, you're always right on the mark with your rhythms, with your preachiness without preaching. It's in the bones. It's in those bones, yes.
Thank you.
I also loved your imagery. And your choice of words, it just brought everything to life for me. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I choose to challenge. I choose to challenge the ways that I spend. Waking hours, working hours, hours with a friend.